It's great to be here live with you here and online. It's great to have you with us. Has anybody ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke? Yeah, quite a few have heard him. So in church circles, he's quite famous. Obviously outside, he's not known at all, hardly. He has preached to crowds of hundreds of thousands in Africa. He is one of the guys that's preached to probably most, more people than many others. Maybe there are a few, but he preached them live, not just online. He preached them live. Really well-known Christian. He actually came, to, I don't know whether you know, he actually came to Hereford. He preached in the leisure centre in 1992. Obviously, limited crowd there. A really famous Christian here in Hereford. Yeah. Amazing. And people came from far to hear him. Christians came to far. He's one of the few well-known like Christian superstars. So if for instance, a really well-known preacher like Reinhard Bonnke came here, we'd be pretty excited, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What then if he walked in and he then started to criticise the welcome team? He started to criticise the decor. What would we think of that? Kick him out. Kick him out, yeah. And then he criticised the worship, and worst of all, he criticises me. Oh. Yeah, I know. What would you think of it then, even though he's famous? Not impressed. Sorry?
There must be a good reason.
Yeah, there must be a good reason, yeah. Maybe just, you know. Anyway, well, this happened. This happened. I'm going to tell a story of a well-known preacher that came to a place and he didn't trash it just verbally, he trashed it physically. And that preacher was Jesus. So in that instance, there was a good reason. So I'm going to read from Mark chapter 11. This is about Jesus in Jerusalem. So it says, Mark chapter 11, verse 15. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers'?" So my title for this, talk this morning is A House of Prayer for All Nations. So we're in a series called Built to Last. What we want in this series to that God builds foundations and strongly in our lives. And this series is in four parts. The last part of the series, so I have the picture of building like a house or a building, and the foundation is the love of God. But now we're talking about loving the world, so that we called this section of the series, A House for All Nations. This is when we realize that the house that God is building, the church, is for all nations, all peoples. Yep, there should be a slide with that on, the image that we've got. So many of us know that quite well. The story of Jesus going in and basically trashing the temple. And because we know it well, we just think, yeah, that happened. But just imagine what a scandal that was. Obviously, the temple leaders were horrified that he would do that. And, you know, the day before, Jesus had come into Jerusalem and he was welcomed like a hero. And people were in the streets shouting his name and praising him and putting the coats and the palm branches before him. And the disciples were thinking, I hope everybody realizes that we're with him. And then he starts trashing the temple and they're all thinking, I hope nobody realizes that we're with him. It was that kind of thing where it was just embarrassing. So don't forget that. We kind of get familiar with the story and forget this was a really outrageous thing that he did. So I want to look about what he had a problem about the temple. I'm going to talk a bit about what he didn't like, but I want to focus on what he said the temple should be. So the temple was a place of prayer and worship to God. And I think the problem Jesus had with what was going on there, that people went there for what they could get out of it. They just went there to gain some money. And he said, this should be a house of prayer. You've made it into a den of robbers. And when he said den of robbers, he's quoting Jeremiah 7. And in Jeremiah 7, God condemns people who worship at the temple, but their lives are not serving God. They're serving idols. They're serving their own interests. They're ignoring injustice. And justice is out the window. So when we read this story and we see what God wasn't pleased with, that people were just self-serving and looking to serve God, worship God for what they could get, then don't just point to them and say, wasn't that terrible? We need to let God examine our own lives, that we're here, we're a part of church, not just a Sunday, but we're part of this body, the body of Christ, for the right reasons. Let God examine our hearts. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on a house of prayer for all nations. So, what does that mean? The first word is a house. Now, a house is where you live. Yep. Brick house. Brick or stone house. That's a house. But in the Bible, house, the word house has another meaning. It also means family. So when Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, he wasn't meaning the brick house where he lived. He meant his family. And so when people come into the temple or the church, God expects them to find a family, not a shop. What they encountered was a shop. They could buy doves and they could buy sheep and change money for the sacrifice. And that's not the kind of interaction that people should have when they come into the church. They should find family. They should find relationship, not trade. And so it's important to remember that the church of God is a family. It's a house. And now, as I said, I think his problem was that there were people in there. Obviously, in there were people that were sincerely worshipping God. But there were people that were in there for their own benefit. And Jesus could have said, you need to consider your neighbour. You need to consider the other people here. But he actually took it way beyond that. It went straight to the nations. It's not about you, it's about nations. So he took it way beyond. And for us, church meetings, church itself, is not just for me to get something out of it, but for all of us to bless one another, and ultimately that blessing to go to the nations. Amen? So when we finish, we can do the first bit. We can be here for one another. We can pray for one another. We can encourage one another. We can bring a word of encouragement to one another, because we all need that. And actually, the great thing is, there are nations here in this room. Yeah. We're not all English. There are nations in this room. And we can bless nations today in this room. So Jesus took it from the personal, even considering one another in the temple, to the nations. So house of prayer for all nations, what does it mean? I, ever since I've read this verse, I've had an idea in mind what that means. But as I was preparing, I realised there's two possible meanings, maybe more, but I know of two. So does it mean, do you think, a place where we pray for all nations or peoples? A place where we pray for all nations? Or is it a place that all nations and people can pray? So, just reading the English, it seems it could be either. So, just do a little survey and do it at home. Who thinks it's a place where we pray for all nations? Or B, is it a place that all nations can come and pray? Who thinks it's A? Put your hand up, please. Right. Oh, I can't see. Hands up. Okay. Who thinks it's B, a place that all nations can pray? So, no. You've got to choose. It's both, is it? No, I was going to tell you that. So, forget you said that for a minute. Okay, if you look, I looked at what it said in the Greek. I don't read Greek, by the way, but if you want to find out what the original says, it was written in Greek. There's a little site online, Blue Letter Bible, and you can look at the words that they use and get the sense of it. So if you look in Mark 11, the sense of it is a place that all nations will come to pray. So it says literally, it will be called by all nations a house of prayer. Okay? So it is, which was that? B. That's what it says in Mark. But Jesus was quoting, when he says a house of prayer for all nations, Isaiah 56. And the sense of Isaiah 56 is a place where we pray for all nations. So it is both. Are you surprised?
No.
No, you're not. Okay, because you said so. It is both. It is a place where all nations can pray for all nations. But I want to read a bit, open this up a bit, and read from Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56, verse 3 says this. Don't let foreigners, again it's starting about the nations now, don't let foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord say, the Lord will never let me be part of his people. And don't let the eunuchs say, I'm a dried up tree with no children and no future. For this is what the Lord says, I will bless those eunuchs who keep my Sabbath days as holy and who choose to do what pleases me and commit their lives to me. I will give them within the walls of my house a memorial and a name far greater than sons and daughters could give. For the name I give them is an everlasting one. It will never disappear. I will also bless the foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord and who serve him and love his name, who worship him and do not desecrate the Sabbath day of rest, and who will hold fast to my covenant. I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem, and I will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. I will accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices, because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. For the sovereign Lord, who brings back the outcasts of Israel, says, I will bring others too, besides my people Israel. And in that, where he says, a house of prayer for all nations, the meaning is house where we pray for all nations. But in the context of this, what was happening was that the Israelites had been outcast themselves. They'd been sent away into exile and they were coming back to his temple, but they were outcasts. But the culture at that time, they considered certain people outcasts from them, foreigners, because they were the chosen people. But God is saying, no, my temple is for all people. And not just people from other nations. He talks about eunuchs. He talks about other people that the Jews would not consider clean. They'd consider them unclean. What he's saying is that we should accept all peoples. Yep. We should accept all peoples. I want to read a bit of a prophecy that a guy came to this church some years ago and he prophesied this. I have loved the sense of warmth, the sense of family that's in this church, and I want to encourage you in the next season, as many people from different backgrounds, different social groups, different hairstyles, different creativities, different ear piercings and piercings all over, begin to join with church, and family will be the thing that holds them here. Because you're going to get a whole load of people who aren't going to look like you or smell like you or even talk like you. That's going to require us being family together. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Amen. Until it actually happens. Until it actually happens. I remember hearing a preacher, or he pastored a church of 30,000, and he said he remembers the day when a lap dancer became a Christian, and she came totally out of her life, and when she got baptized, she invited all her friends from work, who were other dancers and bouncers, and they had to have it in the very odd hour in the middle of the night when they come off shift. And the people in the church said to the pastor, these people are ruining our church. And it's easy to criticize them when that's not yet happened here. But you've got to think about the person that you would least like here. But that's what God wants, is that a church is a place for all peoples. All peoples. The first time I preached in Brazil in Portuguese, and I didn't speak it that well, was in a church that had no roof. They had four walls, but they hadn't yet afforded the roof. Luckily, it was a dry season, and I preached in there, in this church with no roof. But as I was preparing, I felt God say, spiritually, the spiritual picture of the church, it should have a roof but no walls, like a gazebo, you know, roof and no walls, because it should be a shelter, but it should be open for everybody to come in. And I stood at the front and preached, and as I started, somebody walked in the back, and they walked right up the aisle. You could tell he'd had a few to drink, because he didn't walk straight up the aisle. He walked like this up to the top, and he stopped right in front of me. I wasn't on a stage, I was on the floor, and he said, Pastor, could I have a word with you? And I said, well, I'm a bit busy at the moment, maybe we could speak later. And all the time I was thinking, does this church not have bouncers? Does this church not have security? And eventually they came, and they took him off and beat him. I mean, they spoke to him and counseled him. But it's all very nice saying that we want to welcome everybody, but then there's a point where that person that we particularly don't, that we struggle with, comes in, and then we can say, well, we want to welcome everybody, but not sure about that person. But we need to, that's what God's got for us. That God has spoken that specifically for us. He's sending those people. And that will be a challenge. Okay, so that's part of it, where this is Isaiah 56 goes beyond just being for other nations, but being a church for all types of people. When it talks about nations, a house of prayer for all nations, is in line with the calling from Jesus in Matthew 28 to the church, where Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. So, how can I do that? I live in Hereford. You may feel I'm called to Hereford. I'm not called to go anywhere. What can I do to make disciples? Well, you can pray. We can all pray for all nations. So who are we going to pray for? Can we get the next slide up? We could pray for this couple. Can we make that a bit bigger? Great. This is Llewellyn on the right and Beth on the left. And that's Ava, I think, in the middle. Yes, I got it right. So Beth is from, that's not Herefordshire in the background, that's South Africa where they live. Beth is actually from Herefordshire, comes from a lovely family, the Rudgers, who are part of this church and are part of our congregation in Ross. But God called her to go to work in the townships of South Africa. And she did a wonderful work there and married Llewellyn. And that's their daughter. And God has called them to plant a church with others in a small village called Merivale near Pietermaritzburg. I don't know if you've seen on the news recently, there are riots in South Africa because the president, the ex-president, was arrested. And in their little village recently, as they were at home, they heard rioters outside and shots being fired. But God has called them to go. God had called Beth to go to South Africa, and God's called them to this area. We see the next slides. This is a shop in Merivale. All the shops, there's about half a dozen shops. They've all been trashed. They've all been looted. There's nothing there. And the next slide, if we can. This is in, I think, their garage, Beth and Lou's garage, where they've managed to get food and are distributing food for those who can't buy it anywhere. The next slide, I've forgotten what this slide is. This is some of the women from the village collecting their food parcels. So we can pray for them. We prayed for them last Sunday at our prayer meeting. Pray for them, because we know them. It's difficult, isn't it, pray for all nations when you don't know them. But we know Beth and we know Lou. They are people we support. And you can support them financially if you like. But they're doing a great work across the nations. Just want to warn you, if you start praying for the nations, God might speak to you about nations, might send you. You can also pray for John and Sue Gaston, who are in Uganda. They're from, they were in Ross. And when they're here, they're part of our Ross Fellowship. I pray for them. They are they live on an island in Lake Victoria, doing great work, reaching out to the people there. And you could pray for this lady. If you go to the next slide. This is a friend of ours in Brazil from the church where Adriana was and where I was for a couple of years. This is Juliana. Juliana. And she went to Mozambique some years ago to a conference because the pastor invited her husband. Her husband couldn't go. So she went. She's a doctor. And she took some student doctors with her. And while the conference was going, she decided to do some stuff with medical stuff around there. And as she was leaving, the one of the hosts there said, "Now you've seen all our problems in Mozambique. What are you going to do?" So he set up a charity, NGO, and they go there several times a year, and they take doctors, they take dentists, they take nurses, physios, and they treat some of the poorest people in the world that have very little, and they've built a school. They say probably the best thing they do is school, is not the education. They feed them. They feed them, and they are out there all the time. And they've sent the church has sent a couple of missionaries to plant the church and be there full time. What a cost they've paid! Now we might not all be called to go, but we can pray for them. We can pray for them in this time of COVID. Poor places like this suffer even more. Vaccines, very little chance. Some of them probably can't even afford a mask. And we're so privileged. But we can pray. And we can give. If you are a doctor, you could go. You could go and be part of the team that go from time to time to serve in Mozambique. And I'm going to post a video on social media of an interview we had with Juliana, just about that story of how God led her. But there are doctors queuing up to go on this trip to serve in Africa. They've sent hundreds, and there's a waiting list. And they all have to pay their own they're not paid for this. They have to pay their own air flights and everything, and they go and serve. And if you're a doctor, you could do that. But if you're not, we can all pray. Amen? So that's just a couple of connections we have across the world. And through Catalyst Network, we have lots of connections. We give to Catalyst Network, and part of what we give goes to support Uganda. And we support all over the world. But I want to get into our hearts that we're not here just for Little Hereford. We are part of the world. We are called to go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus said, or house should be called a house of prayer. And if you can't go, I want to say that I'm very glad that here in this church we have nations among us. Not only do we have English and Welsh and Scottish and Northern Irish, we have people from, where have we got people? If you're not from the United Kingdom, can you put your hand up? So we have South Africa, Uganda, anywhere else? Did you put your hand up? Brazil? Wales? So we have nations among us, and online, part of Christian Life Church, we have people from all over the world, which is great, isn't it? Well, you don't sound very enthusiastic. That's great, isn't it? Yeah. Make them feel welcome. It is great. We're really glad to have you with us. And it's great you bring an enrichment to us. But I want to say, help us. Help us to not be so British. No, there's nothing wrong with being British. But I tell you, when we get to heaven, all nations will be there. All nations will be there. So if we want to become like the church that God is making that will go to heaven, we need to become multicultural, which means we'll have to change some of our ways. So if there's ways that you find difficult, then tell us. Tell us and we'll try and adapt. I want to also read a bit more of the prophetic word to that this guy, Julian Adams, his name was, he brought to this church. He said, God is going to begin to use this church to resource projects in the nations. It is going to be a church that is going to have a big picture of the nations. God is going to begin to use you to unlock opportunities of gospel advance in many nations. I think that's really exciting. I think it's so good that we can connect with Beth and Llewellyn in South Africa and we can say, what is your need? You know, that we've asked financially what's your need. At the moment, that's not the need. But we can get money over there if it's needed. And we can support in Mozambique and other places. And we can pray. And we can pray. It's such a privilege that we can do that. But I do believe that God is bringing us into that fulfillment of being a church to resource projects to the nations. I also believe that God is positioning people to help us bring that into being. I can kind of imagine and see some of that happening at the moment. But I also believe that God is doing a lot more than I can see. That we will become much more a church that is a house of prayer for the nations and a resource to nations. Amen? Amen. So that's what I want to share. It is simply this, that we need to lift our eyes to look to the nations out there in the world, to the nations that are in Hereford and around us, in this church and not in this church. Those that have lived in other nations will know sometimes the struggle to settle in, to adapt to another culture. We need to be there to help these people. But also look to the people that society might call outcasts that are different from us, that God wants us to be a house for all types of people and prepare our hearts. So I'm gonna pray for us and I'm going to close. Father, thank you that you are the Lord of the nations. Thank you that you've brought nations to this place. I thank you that when I look at the church, we're multicultural, and we pray that we even more so. I pray that we would become a church that would pray for the nations more. That we would pray for what's going on in South Africa and Germany and around the world, that our hearts would be moved. And pray that you increase our links, our personal links with the world, Father, that you created. And prepare our hearts for those that are different from us, from this nation that come in and maybe just different from us, that you'd help us to accept them and show them those that are different from us. Father, I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Just one other thing I want to say is that in the version of the story, I read the story from the Gospel of Mark. It's also in the Gospel of Matthew. And in Matthew, it adds this line. It says, Matthew 21, verse 14 says, "The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them." And that in the blind and the lame, sometimes in that society, people were asking questions like, why would this man blind or lame? Is it because of his sin or parents' sin? They were kind of sometimes looked down on, but Jesus received them right there in the temple. And so it's another kind of picture of God receiving outcasts. But I also say that I'd love us to pray if you are ill, if you are sick, if you want God to heal you, we would love to pray for you. And that's one of the things God has called us to pray for. pray for the sick. So we'll be here at the end. Pray for you if you like. But I want to pray now. And I want us to together pray. Maybe we could stand. And if you're needing healing, then just reach out to God, whether you're at home or here. And let's pray. Father, we want to pray for an outbreak of healing in this church. This church is known as a place where people find God and find an answer, Father. I want to pray in Jesus' name for those that are sick and reaching out to you now. Those particularly I want to pray for who have struggled with lockdown. It's been a mental struggle, an emotional struggle, that they're still struggling. I pray in Jesus' name that you will come by your Spirit and heal their hearts, their minds, and their emotions, Father. That you would bring them into abundant life, Father. That they would know that lockdown is not a problem for you, that you are free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That your Spirit would come and free them in Jesus' name. We pray for those that are reaching out to you for physical healing also, that you would heal them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Back over to you, Tony.